Yo, it's the real deal. O'Neal's on the mic. A dad and his kid, and we say what we like. From the Detroit burbs, yeah, we cover that map. Dropping all things good in a flat rim cap. Pop talk, gang talk, my body too. With the Motor City rhythm and the hometown crew. So if you're feeling the vibe, go ahead, press play. It's all things good every week, no delay.
Welcome back. It's another episode of The Real Deal O'Neal's Podcast. I am your host, Aiden, and I'm always joined by...
Yeah, your dad. How you doing, bud?
Can't complain. Just got off work, heading over to the studio just to record. At the time of this recording, I'm still 23. Going to be 24 in a couple days, so it's a weird feeling, but approaching mid-20s, but couldn't be more excited. How about yourself?
No. It's great. It's great. I'm excited for your birthday. Your birthday week, as we say. And yeah. Do you recall how we're going to celebrate it?
I do. We're going to Topgolf after I get off work at 9. We're going with my Belmare Marcy, friend of the pod, and Uncle Richard, friend of the pod, family friend. And we're going to Topgolf, I believe, from, when does the reservation start again? Like 9 or something?
Yeah, around there. Yeah, we're going to be there for a couple hours. And yeah, we're going to hit some balls, eat some nachos. It's going to be a wonderful time. Marcy's sneaking in a little surprise for you, too. So it's going to be cool. Yeah, it's going to be great. So yeah, 24, that's a real number. How do you feel?
I feel good. It's... surreal, not gonna lie. I mean, they say it goes downhill after 21, and then you just wait for the decade years after. But at the end of the day, a birthday is a birthday, so I'm having fun with it. So I'm gonna look forward to it.
Yeah, anyone who says that tell them to go away, and you don't want to listen to them. It's like 24 is a great age, 34 is a great age, 44 is a great age. They're all great ages, you know. Just be healthy and then live your life right, and be optimistic and positive, and make the world better through it all. And yeah, fuck it. Yeah, it's your birthday. Let's celebrate. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of which, what's been something in wellness that's been really been speaking to you for this week, since we've been speaking on that a lot in the last couple of weeks?
You know, when we were visiting. Lorraine and Ty, friends of the pod, they have a tonal machine, and this tonal machine, it's the one that LeBron James, he was a celebrity endorser on it, and it was really cool. And really, I won't go into the details, and everybody look at it. They have video coaches, all that stuff. It's really quite cool. But what I loved about it in particular is that it's basically low weights. It's low weights and high reps. So what I've been taking that back with me into the gym. So instead of, like, you know, trying to max out and do 3-4 sets of 10, I start at a relatively high weight for me, and I do 10, and then I go lower and I increase the reps. So when I did curls today, I was using this barbell. I went down to 30 pounds, which normally I'd never touch, because it's so small. It's almost just a bar. It's almost embarrassing, you know. But you know, you start doing that, and it's like shit. It's like, you know, that it's a lot when you. It's like, okay, this is like almost too easy. Yeah, all of a sudden you get to 20, and you're like, God, I'm burning, you know. So you keep going to muscle failure, like you've spoken about in the past. But what I love about it is. Again, taking it to that extreme, muscle failure with low weights, high reps, because I tell you, working on that tonal, it hit me in places that surprised me. So I'm taking that approach to all the weights, because sometimes I'll be doing these, like, let's just say I was doing curls with like a 50-pound bar, which is not bad for a weight for my strength, but at my joints, it just hurt like hell. So going lower is easier on me, and more reps, I think, is it hits me harder even than just going up in weight. So yeah, you remove the ego from that. You remove, you know, that mindset of let's just go heavy in three sets of 10 and just go lower and rip off sets of 20, 30, whatever. And yeah, I found that profound and quite an insight for me, and it really affected me positively.
Yeah, for sure. That's also something I was going to talk about too, is especially in the gym, my routine has always been the same as far as like which muscle I want to attack, what machine I'm going to use, which muscle, well, like I mentioned, what muscle I'm going to target, which machines I'm going to use, and how many reps I'm going to do it for. I normally start at a pretty, I wouldn't say the immediate high right away, like my max. I go at somewhere that I know I can get a good 10 reps out of. And then when I do a couple sets of those, I increase the weight and do less, like 7 or something like that, then even go a little bit higher and then do a couple sets of 5. But again, it's not about the reps. It was more about the form and how you were able to extend your muscles. And then after that, I decrease those weights to one that's super, super light and go until failure. And that was the superset I've been using. And that goes for any workout, whether it's a push day, a pull day, or even a leg day, which is my least favorite day in the gym. But definitely those going really high up in weights for less reps and targeting your form more than actual reps, and then going at the lowest possible weight and doing it until failure. That has been a game changer.
By the way, for everybody out there, we're working on one mic, sharing it today, because we had a, you may have heard our, all of our regular listeners out there, a little bit of a buzzing sound in the last podcast, and that was due to a bad cord and a bad XLR cord that connected my microphone. So Aiden and I are sharing one. Marcy, Aiden's Bell Mare, my beloved wife, she's a not just data and analytics, she's IT, and she broke it down, and she diagnosed that it was a bad cord. So we're picking up a new cord tomorrow. Till then, Aiden and I are sharing cord. But you know what I wanted to do is, because this is your birthday week, I also wanted to kind of like broadly, like focus on that, and with the four topics. Like when I think about you and your wellness journey to this ripe old age of soon to be 24, and I think of like what's the most profound step toward wellness? I mean, we've always been active. You play baseball, always try to go to the gym and do things. But I think for me, what was most profound was you doing push-ups. And I remember I used to get you doing push-ups to get things. I think it's because of Joey. We had a golden retriever. You know, it's always like, okay, you do this, you get some food. I remember, do you remember you and your sister swimming laps at Lifetime? Tell me about that.
So, sorry. My sister and I would normally, not just laps at the pool at Lifetime Fitness, but when we actually got a pool, at our house, we would do laps. And if we hit, I want to say, at Lifetime, if it was 10 laps, we would get donuts.
A donut.
And then, well, most of the time you'd take us to the Dunkin' right by where it was. Was it not? Oh, it was Red Naps.
No.
Where?
It was Naps.
I just said that.
No, not Red Naps, just Naps. Yeah, at the corner of Walton and Rochester, Naps. Shout out to Naps. Stop in there, get a cup of Java and some donuts. You know, it's run by a wonderful Asian family. It's super cool. But yeah, you guys would do 10 laps in a large pool. I almost want to say Olympic, but it was a large, and you guys would do 10 laps. You get that. But that was the same thing with the push-ups, and those push-ups stuck with you. Are you still doing them to this day?
Yeah, not as much as other workouts, but definitely targeting them if I can. I've done more than just regular push-ups, though. I've done diamond push-ups. I've done, extended push-ups. I've done behind-the-hand push-ups, something where I have a lot of different tricep workouts that would be considered calisthenic, is that of what I've been doing recently.
How many push-ups?
a day, still hitting 100 at least. I mean, now with school and work, I just need to at least knock out 100 now just because of how much work I've been putting in recently. And yeah, that's all I can really say on that.
Well, what are your own thoughts? So, I mean, again, when I think about your wellness journey over your 23 years, 11 months, and, you know, 20 odd days, to me, it clarifies, like the push-up was a profound moment. And how about yourself? Anything else stand out?
About my own wellness journey? I think probably was being more active in the gym after a certain time. Like, definitely after the pandemic, I was a lot more active in the gym. I actually lost 30 pounds during the pandemic. I lost 50 pounds initially because I was already on a weight loss journey because I used to weigh, I want to say 250 was like my heaviest. And then I want to say I dropped 70 pounds before that school year, my senior year. And then I dropped the other 30 pounds during the pandemic, and definitely at my healthiest now than I was in high school, which is crazy to me. But beyond blessed for it, to honestly, it took more so adjusting to new healthy habits. Not even really a diet thing. I've been pretty clean most of my life. But I think most of it had to do with just being more active and being more outside and definitely embracing the outdoors. And I think that's what the pandemic taught me when I graduated high school and then went on in my life a little bit and went to school, met some new friends, and everything happens for a reason. And I was very blessed to find the people that I did. And even now, when I went back to school, meeting the friends I have now, I have some amazing friends that I made at OCC. And yeah, that's really been the main focal point, not just with my overall health, but just my social group and who I choose to surround myself with. A lot were great learning experiences. Being a brother for a fraternity is great. I try to keep in contact with those guys when I can. It's been really hard recently just because of my workload. But when I get the chance, I always let them know how much they mean to me. But yeah, it's a lot to think about now going into this year.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I don't think you lost 70. You know, you weren't that overweight. And I don't think you ever hit 250. but you definitely did lose a lot of weight, and that was great. You know, but I also think like that fraternity, that was quite a journey too. Because yeah, you made great friends there, but you also learned how to deal with some pretty toxic people. You know, and when you talk about those friends, your friendships are a curation process. Curation means you're deciding who's in and who's out, and that's everything. You know, your vibe is your tribe, and your tribe is your vibe. We've been saying that for a while, and I truly believe that. You know, you can either bring people into your life that bring you joy, make you think, introduce you to different cultures, or you can be around people that, you know, turn you into somebody that you don't want to be. So, yeah, no, I've seen you go on that journey, and yeah, it's been beautiful. You're in a great place, and it's beautiful to see. So, what else is going on? What else is going on that's going to make you happy that you're going to see this weekend? You're going to a movie. You're going to go see Running Man. I think Marcy and I are going to do the same thing. You know, how about from a sports perspective? Anything giving you joy right now?
One thing that's been giving me joy recently is, and I'm not a Pistons fan by any means, but I'm a Bucks fan, but, staying close to the Wisconsin roots, but at the same time, I'll admit I was a big bandwagoner back when the Warriors were, dominating the league. I'll openly admit that. But seeing the Pistons at the top of the East at the moment is really cool to see for the city of Detroit. Tarek Skubal won back-to-back Cy Youngs. Hopefully Detroit can lock up a long-term contract with him sooner rather than later. But at the end of the day, it's a great moment for Detroit, seeing back-to-back Cy Youngs from Skubal, and then you're seeing the Pistons dominate the East right now. I know it's early, but at the same time, seeing them play the way that they have, it really shows that Detroit's on the up and coming, and I love seeing it. And even though I might not be like predominantly like a fan of those teams, I really like seeing Detroit, a city that's been beaten, start to gain some hope and momentum, and it's showing, and it definitely brings me a lot of joy seeing that. And there was something else in sports that was really good that I saw. Oh, also, one thing that's been really giving me a lot of joy is, ironically, I mean, I'm not the biggest Boston fan, but seeing Drake May play the way he's been playing, the quarterback for the Patriots, he's an MVP candidate, and the lineman that they drafted that we saw at the draft, Will Campbell, he's looking to be a Pro Bowler his rookie year, who's been phenomenal. One thing I took away from that draft that I loved and saw it live was when he was being interviewed after he got drafted. He was emotional, and they asked him, "So you're being sent to New England to protect Drake May. How are you going to set the tone on the offensive line?" And he immediately went to, "I'm going to fight and die to protect him with everything I have." And the moment I heard that, I'm like, this dude's going to be a stud in the league. I can't wait to see what this guy's going to bring to the Patriots. And they're leading the AFC East right now. So it's cool to see, for sure. I know the fans are thinking, oh, no, we might have another dynasty on our hands. But at the same time, it's a young team. I love seeing it. And definitely loved Will Campbell at LSU, too. So a lot of great things to look forward to in sports. It's young, it's energetic, and it's in a great place. Sports is in a great place right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I again, we've talked a lot about the Pistons on this pod, and I love them. It's one of these things. It's like everybody values championships, but I value. I mean, obviously championships, but the vibe of a team and the culture that they create. I mean, I loved the Pistons and the aughts. You know, the Tigers. You know, with Prince and with Miguel and everyone. I mean, they had a great run. They didn't win the title. They came close, but I don't care. They gave me so much joy, and I feel like I'm getting the same joy, same type of joy. From these Pistons. What I love too is they're tough as fuck. You know, they're tough as nails. Duran, what's his name? Jalen Duran is right. Am I saying that right?
You might be.
Yeah. But anyway, he's a bad man. That guy is just tough as nails. And so is Cade. So is the whole damn team. And Jaden Ivey, father's friend of the pod. Obviously, you've met him. Is really cool. Did you see that note from Justine?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, about how he was. I thought that was really cool too. It's a great culture, and it gives me joy. You know, again, I don't know where they'll go. I don't know where they will be. In terms of the Eastern Conference race. You know, hopefully they can pull it out. But I think they still got a piece or two missing. For them to do that, you know, they need some lights out shooting, I think, to complement Cade, and maybe they'll get that when Ivy returns, you know, but it's a very very exciting time. So what else is going on? Like, all right, we have what about the Detroit Metro? I know you've been, like we've talked about, you're working all the time, you're going to school all the time. So it's not a lot for you to venture out and see, but it is a beautiful time of year. It's fall in Michigan, and you know, obviously, like a week or so after your birthday, it's Thanksgiving. You know, so is there anything about the Detroit Metro that you're looking forward to or that you appreciate?
Well, to answer your question, there's one thing in particular that I'm really looking forward to that's coming up soon. The lights in Rochester Hills are coming back, and I believe they start the Monday after the week after my birthday on Monday. They're gonna shine for the first time. So I'm definitely looking forward to that and seeing those lights. I know I'm not going to be around it as much this year as I was in previous years because of the geography of where I live now in Davisburg. But at the end of the day, Rochester Hills is very much thriving with those lights. And I've just remembered it as a kid growing up here. And they'll always bring a level of nostalgia, no matter how old I get. So growing up here and seeing it happen and being raised in the community like this and seeing it turn into what it is now is just absolutely amazing. And yeah, I just really look forward to seeing them on display, seeing what's going around in the area. And I can't wait to be back in Rochester to see it and spend a lot of my Christmas break in the town that I grew up in.
Yeah, that's cool. I agree. It's there's obviously a literal vibrancy to the downtown Rochester. One thing I'm looking forward to. Have you heard about this Ralph Wilson Centennial Park down in Detroit? It's extraordinary. I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures and it looks really cool. It's down. It's between downtown on the waterfront, Detroit, and Corktown. So it's like 4th Street and Jefferson when it turns. And they spent tens of millions of dollars on it. And it looks extremely cool and inviting. And you know me, I'm a big fan of parks. I think more parks, less parking lots. You know, Central Park is my favorite place in the world, or one of them. And I love our park in Rochester, Municipal Park, which needs a new name, for Christ's sake. Municipal Park, that's so lame. I think it's called Ralph Wilson Centennial Park, and it looks extraordinary. So we got to go down there, you know, again, because parks bring people joy. It's just good for the soul, good for the city, good for the economy. I mean, I really do believe that. I think it elevates all the property values and everything around that. You know, I can't imagine Manhattan without Central Park. I don't think anybody can, or Brooklyn without Prospect. It's getting cold. I don't know how inviting it is right now, but I tell you, that park come spring is going to be something special. I want to head down there. You know, sooner rather than later. You down to do so?
Most definitely. I mean, I love parks as well, and there's one in Clarkston that I've been going to this summer. Independence Oaks is always nice. I love going there and taking a nice walk around this really big lake and just seeing what's around there and seeing what's on display, who is around there. Sometimes I'll run into a dog or two, but again, great area, great inviting area. There's multiple sides to it. There's a beach right across the street from it, kind of like a metro park, if I'm not mistaken, but it's beautiful. It's free to get in. So yeah, there's no charge getting in. So it's just a very nice, welcoming area.
And when you go there and you spend some time walking around, how do you feel when you're done?
I feel good. I mean, I always like, there's always a good excitement to finishing something, or a sense of accomplishment when you finish something. So that's with anything in life. So I've enjoyed that a lot. I want to say the beach area has been pretty nice. I went there one time and just had an absolute blast there. It was, I was on a picnic date that day. I went with somebody I met. Long story short, it didn't work out. But anyways, we just brought some food, had like a little lunch at the, just a perfect day. And then we went to the water, threw a ball around because she played softball. So she could throw. And then after that concluded, we went our separate ways after that. Never spoke again, but, you know, overall had a good time. And just being around that area, being around in the sun, too, it was just beautiful. Beautiful day for it. It was in the 90s. So just one of those things I look forward to come next summer.
Yeah, no, that's how you do it. You don't go to a restaurant. You pack a picnic. You go to a park. I remember, like, years ago, I talked to Marcy about this. I remember seeing Rachel Ray, who is like this television personality, and she would do like $50 in New York or $50 in Paris. And she was in Paris, and she got a bottle of red French wine for like $10. She got a baguette for like $2 and a little herbed goat cheese, you know, for a couple of bucks as well. And then sat on the lawn at the base of the Eiffel Tower and had lunch. I mean, wine, cheese, bread. Christ, you can't get any better than that. So, yeah. It's like I think that's the perfect date. Go to a park, regardless of where it's at, and have something. Say, have some beautiful food. It's a hell of a lot better than, you know, just go into a restaurant and sitting facing each other and have somebody bring you burger and fries.
Well, first things first, instead of goat cheese, I'd rather go brie. That's just my preference. But yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, restaurant dates can be cool, especially like when it's an outdoor date. I like that as well. But at the end of the day, I mean, outside, picnic, nature, everything is just perfect.
Yeah, and one thing not to overlook is it's very cost effective. You know, you buy a $10 bottle of wine in a restaurant, it's going to be $30. You know, you buy goat cheese or brie with it's just the prices go up dramatically. Obviously, for all the obvious reasons. But anyway, I do love packing a picnic, make your own food and drinks, save some money, and it also kind of impress the other party that you put together a picnic instead of just, again, ordering pizza at a restaurant. But so I love fall also because it's a very interesting time of year culturally. When it comes to movies, you know, summer is full of blockbusters, and, you know, the fall gets more thoughtful, and it gets a little, it's like, again, you know, the drinks turn from margaritas to scotch or whatever, and like people get more thoughtful. It's a moodier time, but it's still I think it's a more profoundly intelligent time. And I want to highlight from a pop culture perspective a couple of movies that are out from one of my favorite film directors, Richard Linklater. He's the guy who did, you know, Dazed and Confused, the, you know, About a Boy, and, you know, Everybody Wants Some, which is so damn underrated. Everybody, Google Everybody Wants Some, Richard Linklater. It's a great movie about, just Google it and you'll find out. But anyway, he released two movies almost simultaneously. One is called Nouvelle Vogue, and it's black and white, and it's all about like a kind of a behind the scenes of the movie Breathless, which was released in the early 60s. It's a French film, and it's one of the, it was part of the French avant-garde movement, which changed movie making in the United States profoundly. And so he did that with Zoe Deutsch as the lead actress. She's Leah Thompson's daughter. Leah Thompson from Back to the Future, the lead actress. It's her daughter, and she's remarkable. She is also in Everybody Wants Him. And then he also did another one. I'm going to look it up. It's with Ethan Hawke, and he plays, Hart from Hart and Rodgers and Hart, and a theater he's a composer. So he did, and this is all, again, a very independent, not big budget movie where he's being interviewed, or it all takes place inside Sardi's, which is a historic theater restaurant in New York. And I just love that they're both so small and simple and independent and beautiful. And it just harkens back, I think, to like the 80s and 90s and so many times before. You know, it's just nice to see smaller budgets, but they're doing, that are very niche. It's not going to get a big audience. You know, that came and went out of the theaters. But Nouvelle Vogue is streaming now on Netflix, and I can't wait to watch it. And Breathless is on HBO right now. Again, a movie that's from like 1960 or 61. And I implore you all, watch Breathless and then watch Nouvelle Vogue. I haven't watched Nouvelle Vogue, but it's got great reviews. I've watched Breathless. It's fucking amazing. Watch it. And then the other one, I'm going to Google this while you talk, and you tell me what you're looking forward to or what you're enjoying from a pop culture perspective. All right.
So for me personally, one thing that I've been seeing a lot of is the trailer for the upcoming Michael Jackson biopic. Obviously, huge fan of his music and cannot wait to see this movie. It's coming out in April of 2026. So I'm very excited to see how this movie comes together. It's has his nephew Jafar Jackson playing Michael. So, you know, it's going to be very positively centered towards Michael, which I really appreciate. And just seeing the way that that trailer was put together gives me a lot of excitement and a lot of hope that this is going to be a really great movie. And seeing Jafar Jackson come into his own with this as well, and especially the Jackson family, seeing like how this all comes together and just honoring his legacy and the legacy he had with his brothers beforehand. And it just seems so great too. And I just very much looking forward to it.
Very cool. Yeah, I know, that sounds great. So I just want to recap. So this is the movie is called Blue Moon. And it's about Lorenz Hart, and that's the part that Ethan Hawke plays as he reflects on himself on the opening night of Oklahoma, a new musical by his former colleague Richard Rodgers, Andrew Scott. It also stars Margaret Qualley, who's amazing, Bobby Cannavale. It's going to be beautiful, and that sounds amazing. What did you say the guy's name is? Jafar Jackson. Okay. And tell me more about him, because you said he's Michael Jackson's nephew.
Yes, he is. So he is from my knowledge, I believe he's Jermaine's son, from the Jackson, Jermaine Jackson from the Jackson 5. And yeah, I've been following that. Well, I've heard rumors about that biopic for a very long time. And I was so excited to hear that they gave it to Jafar, because it is Jermaine Jackson's son. Okay, I got that right. I just loved that they gave it to a relative, just because I don't think you can make a movie about Michael's life and bring an impersonator of Michael Jackson, because there's a lot of Michael Jackson impersonators out there. I just think it's more authentic that they brought in an actual family member, and that's a really good way of honoring his legacy. And Jafar Jackson too, I don't know if he has more than one song, but he has one really good song called Got Me Singing, which is actually the song that we're going to cue out with today. But I heard it, and he sounds just like Michael. So just knowing that, I can already tell that it's going to be a great movie.
Yeah, no, that's great. So that's going to be the song, huh? All right, I love it. Well, I can't wait till Tuesday, but I'm not going to wish away tonight, because we're going to have a great night. Marcy's making this Hasselback chicken, which she'll have on her Instagram account. It's just beautiful, like that. There, she's, you just got to see it to believe it. These slices of potatoes intersecting on a regular basis inside a beautiful piece of chicken. And then she's roasting it on a bed of it's gonna be glorious, and she's doing this all for you, bud. So, again, well, I love you, bud.
Love you too, Dad. And for everybody out there listening, hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you in the very next episode. And always keep things positive.
I'm on my way to you. So glad you called my phone, told my mind about you. My heart is ready to fall. Everything hit on, babe. No phone in your
Agency production, recorded and edited by Aiden Big Deal O'Neill.